Entrepreneur Success Formula podcast, where we'll be getting down to earth with real entrepreneurs who work hard and know that success is more than a mindset, and it takes blood, guts, and a bucket full of luck to survive and thrive in the world of business today. And oh boy, what about today? My name is Damien Mark Smith, and I am your host for the show and author of The Entrepreneur Success Formula, How Thriving Business Owners Actually Do It. And in this episode, I am speaking with Steve Axtell, who runs It's Easy Websites, helping you grow your business, which is a franchise business with 35 independent franchisees, which provide easy-to-use websites for SMEs for a low monthly cost. And Steve, welcome to the show!
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And Steve and I are actually in the same BNI group. And for anyone who doesn't know what BNI is, I'm going to put a link to BNI, which is the Business Networking International. And it's a fantastic community of business owners. We get together and we tell jokes, don't we, Steve? That's what you do.
I try to.
You're actually very, very well known for it. And you're very good at it too, I have to say. So thank you for joining the show, and thank you for sharing your entrepreneurial journey. So let's get cracking with the questions. How did you get your how did you get into the It's Easy Web franchise, and then how did you get your first customer?
Okay, well, I spent many years, as my grey hair would probably let you know, in corporate world. I spent a load of time in corporate, but then decided that I wanted to go off and do my own thing. And it was at that point, and it was what am I going to do? Because at the end of the day, when you're looking for a job, you kind of, you're typecast, you go in a particular area. So when I came to do my own business, I literally opened up the floodgates and looked at all sorts of different possibilities. And then eventually I actually read a book, and it was kind of saying, don't look at what you want to do. Look at what you want to get out of it. You know, do you want to hold stock? Do you want to do this? Do you want to have an office? Do you want to have staff? This kind of stuff. Once I'd done that and kind of wrapped that around a bit, I realized that I was throwing away 30, 35 years of business development marketing experience if I went into something totally different. So decided on the website route, which is where I ended up. And because it's just one niche part of marketing and sales and business development. And so it just kept me in the same mindset as I'd done for years and years and years. Crazy to throw it away. Then decided that I certainly didn't want to be sitting in front of a computer all day and coding a website. So I decided to go into the franchise business, which is why I bought into It's Easy and the team down at a company, the parent company called SpotOn.net down in Torquay. Took me a while to get down to see them. Glad I did. Wish I'd have done it sooner, because once I'd seen the product, the people, and the business ethic, it was a no-brainer for me, and I kind of signed up on the spot. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got to where I am. First customer was an interesting one, because having spent all those years in marketing and working in corporate, then you suddenly realize you've got to do it all yourself. So you are not only the salesperson, the marketeer, the finance person, the MD and everything else. So for a couple of weeks, it was just to sit back and think about everything. And I was in my gym one day working in there, and the gym owner just happened to mention to somebody totally away from me about getting a new website. And it's amazing how much your ears open when you're open to ideas and open to new things. So as soon as he said it, I just literally put the weights down, went over and said, you do realize what I'm doing for a living now, don't you? And he said, no, told him, and he was my first client. So no hard sell, no hard anything. It was just keep the ears open and don't let the opportunity go away. So he was number one.
It's a fantastic lesson for anyone who's thinking about starting out now. And obviously, when I mentioned about the current climate, we've got COVID-19 destroying businesses as we speak. And I have conversations with a lot of people at the moment who are taking their business online.
Yeah.
And need a website. And, you know, some of them don't realize that there is an opportunity to get a platform which is, you know, doing all the hard work for you without going to a designer and then going to a coder and going to a copywriter and all this sort of stuff. And you know, maybe they're listening to this now and thinking, hold on a minute.
Yeah. Basically, we do all that for them. And this is it. I'm talking to current clients who now are monetizing what they're doing via the web, which they weren't doing before. And the other people I'm talking to is literally other businesses, which are saying, right, we now need to take it online and do more with it. So that's really the two sets of people I'm talking to.
Superb. Okay, question number two. What's been the biggest mental challenge that you've had to overcome as an entrepreneur, business owner?
I think it's a little bit about, as I alluded to a few seconds ago, suddenly being every department in the business. In the commercial world, there's somebody else doing it for you. You have an idea and you bounce it off to the finance department or wherever other department it is, but you suddenly had to be everything. Not only did you have to be everything, you have to be very self-motivated. I think I am a self-motivated person, but it's amazing when you're working with a group of people, you do bounce things off each other. You certainly bounce ideas off each other. And also, what mood are you in today? Can somebody else lift your spirits? Is there somebody else you can help? That kind of stuff. Well, guess what? It's just you when you start out. If it's anything like me, you start out in the back bedroom, and that's it. That's where the buck stops. So I think in terms of the mental challenge, that's the biggest point, is you are on your own. I'm pretty self-sufficient. I actually quite like working on my own, but it's amazing how much you miss other people when you have to do it. So for me, that would be the biggest shift. If you're a young entrepreneur or thinking about doing this, just bear that in mind. And if you do like people around you, you're going to need that kind of support.
Excellent. Well, that kind of leads us into this next question, because this is the one that we've had. Most people on the show have come up with the same answer. So I'm going to wonder if you do. If you had to start over again from scratch, what's the one thing you would do differently?
Differently. A way into my journey, picked up on business coaching. It was something I'd considered doing anyway myself when I was starting to think about what to do in business, but I'd never actually got a coach myself. But I would actually recommend that everyone starts with a business coach and has one in tow from day one. Mm-hmm. It's very, very easy to go off at different tangents, and you might have some great ideas, but if there's a coach there who can help you and guide you and push you in the right direction, and get the ideas out with you and make, you know, that kind of thing, you will save so much time. You'll save money. Even though you're spending on a coach, you're going to save money, because it's not a cost, and it's investment in time and their expertise. And I would recommend it, absolutely recommend it from day one for everybody. If you're a top athlete, you've still got a coach. You know, as an entrepreneur or somebody coming in, you're actually a novice. Doesn't matter how much business experience you've got from the past, you're still a novice. And having a coach, I would say, would be the first thing I would recommend to everybody. Fantastic. It's not a coach, a mentor, or somebody that you can use, if that makes sense. I don't know what everybody else answered, but that's my answer. I'm intrigued now to know what everybody else said.
Yeah, it was actually they would get staff sooner.
Interesting.
Yeah, which obviously, you know, with your businesses, you've already got staff, really, because they're behind the things, yeah? So that doesn't necessarily apply, but essentially it's getting support. It's getting support sooner. So there was an article in Forbes recently that said, you know, what's the number one investment that you should make in a downturn? You know, it was talking specifically about depression. And, you know, real estate and stocks, everyone knows. You know, real estate obviously builds longevity over time, and stocks, best to get them when the stocks are down. But the number one thing they said to invest in was yourself.
Yeah. Read a lot. Yeah, I still read a lot as well. Yeah.
So that was interesting. Yeah. Obviously, get a coach. I have a coach. I'm a coach and I've got a coach.
There you go.
So absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. Okay. What is the one piece of advice you would give to a young entrepreneur, or even someone who's actually been an employee and they're now redundant, and they're thinking about starting? So someone who's starting from scratch, any entrepreneur, any brand new entrepreneur, what's the one piece of advice you would give to them? And it's got to be different from getting a coach. We've already got that one.
Funnily enough, it goes back to what you just said. I think the first thing I would say to them is delegate. So, okay, these two questions are crossing over a bit here, because back to that first point I was saying about you're out on your own and you're doing it all for yourself. And one of the people I lent on a little bit when I first thought about doing this was my old finance director. And the first thing he said to me is, get an accountant. I said, well, do I need one? He said, well, actually, no, but get an accountant. And I've had an accountant from day one, and they do my books as well. I do nothing. And now the thing is, I understand accounts. I can pretty much tell you my cash flow forecast for the next 12 months. I've got all these numbers. They're in my head. They're on spreadsheets. They're everywhere. But what I haven't got is the insight that a third party looking in, they become my outsourced finance department. So I would delegate your accounts day one. they can save you so much money. Once again, a good accountant is an investment, it's not a cost. But equally, it's stuff like social media, outsource it. If you don't want to do it, if you haven't got the time to do it, outsource it. So the coach I would always have, the accountant I would definitely do, but anybody who can take those tasks away. I worked with a VA for about 3 years who literally took all the basic day-to-day tasks away from me and did everything so I could concentrate on the parts of the business I needed to concentrate on. Because if I'm spending hours doing tasks where I could be earning money, and I could be helping my clients and I could be developing relationships, then why am I doing that? It's crazy. So definitely delegate. So it's kind of going back to your previous question, getting staff in. They don't have to be paid staff. They can be outsourced. So one or the other, or even a blend of both would be definitely something worth considering. And once again, they're not a cost, they're an investment.
Absolutely. What is the best piece of advice ever given to you by someone else?
Difficult to say. There's so many bits you can pick on from the past, and one of them was that once again this guy called Jack Gowan, even give him his name, there you go, who's my finance director, who said to me, delegate. He said, don't try and do it all yourself. It's not possible to do it all yourself. When you go back to corporate days again, you have departments doing stuff and you can't do it much as you might want to. I suppose another good example would be you could have the best idea in the world, but if you can't sell or market, that idea is never going to get anywhere. So if you have to outsource your sales and marketing to somebody else, do it, because otherwise your idea is never going to get off the ground. So delegation is a big one. And there's another thing I hark back. I've worked for all sorts of companies like WD-40 and Energizer, some big, massive brands, and had some great leaders in those businesses. But one of the other things I'm very aware of is we as human beings tend to take the line of least resistance. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like doing something, you'll do it. If you don't feel like doing it, you won't do it. Now, as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to do it at some point. So do you wait until you feel like doing it, or do you get on and do it? Because if you wait until you feel like doing it, you might delay the good stuff for a couple of weeks or however long it's going to be, you're going to delay it. How about if you decide I'm going to do this regardless of how I feel, then do it and then see how you feel. So the feeling comes after the action. And that's probably another piece of advice that I've picked up along the way, which I try and follow. I'm not saying I'm good at this. You know, sometimes you're not in the mood for doing something, you don't do it. And then I kick myself afterwards because you feel even worse for not doing it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, I would say probably if you're going to go with anything, do that. You've got tasks to do which are going to drive your business forward. Doesn't matter what you're feeling like, get on and do it, because afterwards you'll feel even better.
Eat that frog.
Eat that frog. Yeah, if anyone who doesn't know the phrase, eat the frog, get that nasty one out of the way in the morning. But sometimes it's not even a bad task. You're not in the mood for doing that task. It might even be an enjoyable task, but it's a biggie and you don't want to touch it. But the quicker you do it, the more your business is going to move forward.
That's why I exercise first thing in the morning.
Exercise, yeah. I must admit, my exercise regime's shot to bit. Well, certainly at the moment, it's shot to pieces. But yeah, you should do that in the morning. It's best thing for you.
First thing, get out of the way. Rest of the day is good.
Yeah.
And by the way, for anyone who's thinking of starting a business, right, your health is part of your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you should consider that considerably. And obviously, there's lots of work being done around serotonin, oxytocin, all this sort of stuff. You think better. Right, do a bit of exercise and think about it.
But there was an adage as well, I'm sure you must know this, and they talk about when you're driving, flying on a plane, and you know, and the oxygen masks come down, the advice is put yours on first before you help somebody else. And that kind of sums it up. If you don't look after yourself first, you're no use to anybody. Mm-hmm. So you have to come first.
Yeah, and that also goes with stress as well. Don't get stressed.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Do exercise, tell jokes, there you go, that's the way out.
Yeah, I guess that's the way.
Okay, Steve, if you're in charge of UK business right now, and this is actually, there's two parts to this question.
Okay.
What legislation would you introduce to help entrepreneurs if everything was normal, and what legislation would you help to introduce entrepreneurs right now in the crisis? So two bits.
Wow. Okay. It's always easy to fall back and say low taxation. because any just, you know, don't tax me as much, let's have as much money coming in as possible. But the reality is, the more money that you keep within a business, the more people you can employ, the more people you employ, the more taxation happens, money moves around the system, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's not, this is not about an entrepreneur or a small business just what not wanting to pay any tax. Absolutely, everyone needs to pay tax, but keeping it within sensible levels, certainly the startup phase. I know, I'm not sure the current legislation in terms of tax relief in the early stages of a business building up, but I would love to see a real kind of staged level of corporation tax, maybe over a number of years or whatever it might be, to help businesses retain cash in the business and employ people earlier than they currently do. Either that, or the other thing is, and this is the real sad thing, I've seen so many businesses that fail, which are great businesses, but the cash flow is shot. And the cash flow is shot because they don't get paid on time. Mm-hmm. They don't get paid on time because somebody else is basically taking the mickey and not paying them. And then to get that money, you've got to go to small claims courts, you've got to do all the other stuff, which then ties up your time and once again hurts your business. So if there was something that legislated that actually said, you can't do that, I'm sorry, they're the terms, you pay on the nail, and there's something that enforces it through the system. I don't know, I can't tell you what the legislation would be, but I think it's something that needs solving on the basis that you know, for all good reasons, a business fails purely through cash flow. So I don't know what the actual legislation would be, but that's something that definitely needs addressing from my point of view.
I think also habits and behaviours in different industries. I mean, as a coach, I never work with anyone unless I get paid up front. But in coaching, yeah, it's kind of standard. Whereas in construction, it's the opposite, right?
So I'm sorry,
paid after the fact.
Yeah.
And I actually had a client in construction. I said, well, why don't you buck the trend? And he was like, well, I can't do that because no one else does it. I said, exactly, buck the trend. So he did. He started to charge up front, and his list went right down, but his conversions went through the roof. In other words, the ones who were doing it because they were going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So it saved him a lot of time.
And a lot of cash, and maybe saved his business as well. So yeah, exactly.
He's opened up a third branch, so he's obviously doing pretty well.
That's fine, yeah. Good coach then, yeah. Yeah. So, but in this current climate, not a clue. But I think the government has gone maybe too hard, too fast. I don't know. There's a lot of people, I'm going to say quite rightly, people go into panic mode. This is something I've never seen in my lifetime, and I doubt I'll ever see something like this again. And so it's very, very easy to go, it's all going wrong, and the government's going to give me some money, let's grab some money kind of thing. But the thing is also, after this, we're going to have to pay our way out of it. You know, the money's got to come back somehow. So I really don't know how far it should have gone right now with the cash handouts. In saying that, some businesses will absolutely need them, and some won't. You know, I'm going to go as far as I can without asking for anything. I believe that I can trade my way through this and trade my way out the other end, and that's what I intend to do. Maybe that's a part of pride. I don't know what it is, but the help's there from the government for anybody that wants it. But legislation during this time is going to be really difficult. I think really this is just a matter of, let's get through this as fast as we can. Let's get businesses back working as fast as we can, and let's keep the employment levels as high as we can, as fast, as quickly as we can through this current situation. I don't think you can really legislate for that. I just think the business legislation will come out of the health legislation. The quicker we stay at home, get through this, get people back to work again, the better business will survive.
Mm. I personally think that there should be a cash injection for startups. It's kind of like the one part which hasn't been looked at, which is, you know, established business, you've got to be going for a certain trading for a certain period of time. Well, actually, the people have just been made redundant. You've got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what about a little bit of a cash injection? Doesn't have to be much, you know, even if it was like 500 quid just to like inject into like
something. Business. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That can be done through, once again, done through taxation. You're due to pay your tax at the end of year one. Well, okay, well then give something back off of that or whatever it might be. I mean, I recently spoke to somebody who's literally started in business 2 days before lockdown. I mean, it's something you can't judge these times, you know, you can't legislate for these sort of timings, but and you do feel for them, but they're still positive about it and they're still going to push forward and go for it. But yeah, whether you do that right now or whether as the business part opens up, as businesses start getting back to normal, then start encouraging people to go into business, and yeah, some cash injection would be great. Just want to get where the money comes from, and it's over a period of time, or maybe it's not a grant, it's some sort of loan that gets paid back over your first 5 years of your business, whatever that may be. But it would be a good idea.
I think adaptability at the moment is the key as well, because there are businesses out there that are adapting their business model. I've got one client who works in stormwater harvesting and construction projects, you know, are limited, but they've got another part of their business, which is composting units. Now they've gone from something like, you know, a couple a week to 50 a day.
Right. Yeah.
Guess what some of their staff are now doing? They're now delivery drivers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a great, great company who do fruit and veg delivery to the door. And I won't give numbers away because it would be unfair on them. But it's a great little business, lovely little business. I've been with them almost since day one, and their business is growing nice and steadily. Right now, they are just bringing people in left, right and centre, delivery drivers, pickers, packers, you name it, just to keep up. And that's great. And I had a long conversation with him the other day, and I really, really hope that once all this is through, people realise the quality of the service they've been getting, the quality of the produce they've been getting, and keep supporting them after this and not all suddenly go back to wherever they were buying before. Because obviously these are a load of new customers coming out of the woodwork. And they were very honest with me and said if 10% stayed with them, they'd be very, very happy. I think people are realising the quality and the service you get from local businesses. And I just hope they realise what they've actually got on the doorstep. I'm a great believer in shopping, even though, you know, we do websites for a living and you could be global with these things. I'm a great believer in shopping locally and looking after local business. So.
Fantastic. What are your plans for the future and how are you going to grow the business?
Plans for the future. I'm sort of knocking on a bit, so I don't expect to be retiring at the normal retirement age, whatever that really is, but I suppose for entrepreneurs it's never. I'd like to grow the business up to a level where probably at some point I can step back a little bit more and put more people at the front end and me controlling the business rather than being hands-on with it. But the reality is I enjoy the hands-on part. I enjoy working with my clients. So my business has grown, I won't say organically, but through networking, through customer referrals. I do very little. I think in 10 years, I think I've made 6 cold calls because it's our reputation, the quality of our product that brings people towards us. So I just keep doing the same and I don't over push things. I want to grow this steadily to get it to a level that's sustainable rather than over trade and then cause a problem with customer service afterwards. Because for me, this is about finding great clients and keeping them, working with them ongoing. And you can only do that with a certain level of client base. So that's kind of where I am. And I don't intend to do anything different. Now, if the COVID situation we've just been talking about totally changes the way we go to market, that's a different discussion. But of course, you know, we've got medium like we're talking on now where I can talk to clients anywhere. And help them with their business without actually being in front of them. But it is the whole face-to-face thing that I really enjoy. And for me, that's the whole point about being in business, is because I enjoy it. Yeah, sure, I get paid for it. Yes, I'm building a business and building something for the future and something I can either sell on or hand on to. You know, I've got grandchildren. Maybe they'd like to come into the business. You don't know where this is going to go. For me, it's enjoyment. I love what I do and I wouldn't do anything else.
Love it. And finally, what is your favorite business book and why?
Too many of them. I think I have a pile of books all around the house, piles of books all around the house, and they're all business books. I don't read novels. I don't have time for that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but in recent times, my favourite one's been Simon Sinek, the Start With Why. Yeah. I couldn't believe the other day. I looked it up. It was actually first published about 10 years ago, I think. Yeah. I only picked up on it about 2-3 years ago, maybe. But the whole, and what I liked about it is I have a certain way of being, a certain way of thinking, but I have to understand things. I have to get underneath the psychological of why I do things, why I think the way I do. And that book summed me up. I do things because there's a reason for doing it. I I want to help local businesses develop. I like helping other people. There's a why in everything I do. Then the methodology that comes behind that is secondary. I've always thought I always worked like that. I was a bit at odds when I was in corporate, because corporate doesn't think like that or doesn't appear to. It's all, this is what we do, and this is how we build things, go out and sell it, kind of thing. So that book, for me, just explained the psychology or the way the mind was working and how that how it sort of defines me in the world of work, if you like, and not just the world of work, but probably in everything I do. So yeah, that's one I would definitely definitely recommend. I think called Simon Sinek, Start With Why.
For anyone who doesn't know, Simon Start With Why is in the book, because I asked Simon specifically. I said, can I use a part of your Start With Why story from in the book? And he got back to me in person and he said, absolutely, as long as you give me a credit, which I did. And it's in the chapter called Start With Why.
There you go. It's almost like we prepared that and we actually didn't we? No. That's in recent years, I would say that's the one. I think everyone should start with that one, to be fair. I think everyone should have that in their reading
absolutely.
List.
Absolutely, 100% agree with that one. And his latest book, actually, I'm going to give you some really good plugs here, Simon, so I expect you to listen to the show. is The Infinite Game, which is fantastic as well. So it's his latest one. Highly recommend it. If our listeners want to, and our viewers now, because we're on YouTube as well, if our listeners and viewers want to get in touch with you, Steve, what can they do to do so?
I'm quite happy to take a phone call. Just give me a call. I like people. I don't need emails. 07-889-763-144. I'll give you that again. 07-889-763-144. Just give me a call. Have a chat. I'll talk about anything for hours. But if you want to talk about websites, even better. But just give me a shout.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. What's your favourite joke?
Oh, is there such a thing? I mean, I have to say there was one that my son told me recently, who's just as bad at jokes as me. And he said, what's blue that doesn't weigh very much? Which is light blue. And the thing is, the nice thing about that is I said that to my grandson. Then he went over to my son and said, Uncle Nick, as he's known as, obviously, so what's green but doesn't weigh very much? So my son said, I don't know. He said, light green. And that was my grandson. So we all have a similar kind of warped sense of humour. That's a clean one, and we'll stick with the clean ones today.
Brilliant. Steve, thank you so much for taking this brief delve into the real life of real entrepreneurs. And can I ask anyone who's listening or watching this podcast to share with other fellow entrepreneurs, or maybe someone who's going to start a business, or maybe someone who needs specifically a website? We all do. It's the front door to our business. And please like us on iTunes and YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube as well. And we're going out on both now, and make sure you hit the subscribe buttons and the like buttons if you would like to take part in the show. And Steve, you didn't know this, but I am actually going to give you a copy of my book as a thank you. And so anyone who appears on this show will get a signed copy, which obviously takes the value right down, of my book, The Entrepreneur Success Formula. So simply drop me an email at damian@rethinkingbusiness.biz and we can have a chat. So thank you very much, Steve, and here's to your success, here's to everyone else's success, and see you soon.
Thanks, Damian.